You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, da-ha-dee-da-ha-dee-ho. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
I'm eating a granola bar. Hold on. Vamp for me.
So, Carmen...
Yes, Tyler.
Good to talk to you again in a natural and friendly way, as is our normal everyday life.
Yes, after what, like 5+ years of knowing each other and mm-hmm. talking to each other almost every day.
Pretty. And I'm Gordy. Or as I'm known this week, Colonel Beef.
Well, hello, Colonel Beef.
Hello.
Should I Welcome. Salute?
Yeah, dude, should I genuflect?
Are you, well, are you ranked higher than a colonel?
Crime Weavers have no rank, sir.
So, no.
So, no.
Well, then, yes, please.
Assuming you did. Aboard?
Thank you.
Are you in the Navy? Is Beef a Navy man?
No, I'm in the other branch.
That other one?
The only other one?
Yeah, the other one.
He's one of the guardians.
Right.
So does anyone have any news? Any cool things?
So much has happened since our last recording. Let me think.
I don't know. Chances are something has happened since our last recording.
You know, you make a great point.
Yep.
What I did was I got up and got water.
Yeah, I checked the news to see if anything had happened, and it did, and I don't want to talk about it.
Great. So. Great.
So yeah. I guess we're in a state now where we're going to go to Dolnois to distract us from the real world, which not a good place to be.
Really quick to recap, and please fill in any details that I may miss along the way. We've got a king who lost his wife.
Uh-huh.
Got really sad about it till he met a lady who was equally sad for different reasons, and they sadded all over each other until they got married.
Yep. As, you know, love story of the age.
They both had daughters, which we learned about after the fact.
Uh-huh.
One daughter is the 8th wonder of the world.
Yep.
So pretty cool. The other daughter is a goopy mess and is evil.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And we hate her.
She does ooze all the time.
The king, after he got out of his sad funk, realized that his daughters were now eligible bachelorettes, and so therefore get him out of the house. So Queen Mom wants her goopy daughter married first, so they invited King Charming over to take her away, but King Charming is way more interested in the 8th wonder of the world, so they have hatched a plot where they put the 8th wonder up in a tower so that he would stop thinking about her, but instead he and his other prince friend who was also there, and his wizard friend who was also there,
yes.
have decided to rescue her from the tower in a flying chaise lounge that is drawn by frogs with wings. But they are also being tricked because the goopy daughter has switched places with the tower daughter so that she will be the one taken. God damn it, take me.
And it's dark enough that you can't tell.
Did I miss anything?
No, I think that
sounds right.
All right, Carmen, tell us the title of this story.
We are reading The Bluebird.
I should have predicted last week that we would maybe see a bluebird at some point.
There's still time.
Yeah, probably should have.
You'll forgive me. I did forget the name of the story. Because what is going on?
Well, I guess let's find out. So when we last left our heroes, they were in a flying chaise carried by winged frogs gifted to King Charming by a wizard.
His best friend, the wizard. Yeah.
He wants to get married very quickly, because you gotta get that banging done. And so he wants to plan a wedding, and Trout Daughter, disguised as Florine by the power of darkness, says, let's go to my fairy godmother's castle.
Right, I forgot that part. She was raised by a fairy godmother, but apparently poorly because she's constantly oozing and greasy.
Yeah, not the best fairy godmother, I guess. Or maybe she is resistant to fairy magic. I don't know. So that's where we pick up now. The king does not know the way to this woman's fairy godmother's castle, because he's never been there before. So why would he? Luckily, his frogs do.
But he's a man, so he doesn't ask directions.
No, he does not ask for directions. He
does not stop to ask anyone.
But his winged frogs know the way, because they know where everything is. They have a map of the world in their heads. So they just take him there.
I don't like these frogs.
Like, interpersonally, or just
I am
concept?
Typically pro-frog, but these frogs are too powerful. They know dominion. Where everything is, and they can get there because they have wings.
They were already amphibians.
Nothing is out of reach for these frogs.
Now they have
the sky. They are masters of air, sea, and land.
So the frogs take them to Susio, the fairy's castle. And the castle is so brilliantly lighted that the king definitely would have discovered his mistake, re-oozing Trout Princess, if she hadn't covered herself with a veil.
Quick thinking.
Yeah. So when they get there, Trout Princess goes to talk to her godmother in private and tells her everything that's been happening. And the fairy, like, looks her over and thinks about it. She's like, well, we do have a problem. He's very fond of this other woman that you've told him you are. So I fear he'll disappoint us.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, the king was waiting in a hall made out of diamonds that were so clear and transparent that he could very clearly see that it was Trout Princess talking to this fairy. And he's like, damn it, have I been tricked or is this demons?
Wait a minute. It's a very high opinion of oneself. It's like the Principal Skinner Simpsons meme. Like, have I been tricked? No, it's the demons that have done this to me.
Yeah. Never admit fault.
He said, my Florine is not to be seen. Maybe her father followed her?
What?
I think because the excuse given was that her dad didn't want her married until Trout Princess was married. So he's like, well, maybe her father followed her and took her away, and now there's the Trout Princess here. I don't know. I don't think Prince Charming's all that smart.
No, I think you were closer when you said demons, bud.
The fairy godmother and the Trout Princess come out of the perfectly transparent diamond room, and the fairy says, hey, here's Trout Girl. You pledge your word to her. So you gotta keep it. It's an oath. She is my goddaughter, and I do command you to marry her at once.
Or else you will ooze blood.
You too will ooze.
Every person is one knife blade away from being oozy. Have you ever thought about that, King?
Have you considered that King Charming?
You may judge her for her oozing, but how close are you to an ooze at any time?
Maybe that's all he needs.
To be reminded that kings can also ooze.
Like, yeah, he oozes a bit, and he's like, we're not so different, you and I. Let's get married.
Well, instead he says, what, I marry this little monster? You must think me to have a very docile disposition to make such a proposal. I have promised her nothing. Susio says, stop, and never be so bold as to fail in respect to me. Sure, says the king. I'll give you the respect due to a fairy if you give me back my actual hot princess. Then Truitonne shows him the ring, and the king says, look, you tricked me. Good for you. I'm not going to be your dupe, though. Quick, my frogs! My frogs! I shall depart at once! And Susio says, ho! That is not in your power unless I give leave. No frogs will let you escape the power of Susio the fairy! And she touches him and fastens him to the floor.
Hell yeah.
So maybe she's more like a battle fairy, and so like putting her in charge of a princess's happiness was not the best use of her skills.
Yeah, her magic appears to be suited towards torture.
Combat and defense, yeah. So the king says, cool, do what you want, but I do love fluorine, and you're not going to change that with your magic binding spells. You're not letting me get in my frogs. So Susio tried gentleness, she tried threats, she tried promises and supplications. Meanwhile, Trout Princess is just weeping and groaning and throwing temper tantrums in the background, which I'm sure is infinitely helpful and not at all irritating to the fairy who's attempting to set this up for her.
She tried a couple gut punches here and there just to keep him alert.
Yeah, you know, don't let him get too comfortable.
It's a good image.
And then the king just looks at both of them scornfully.
That's all he's got left.
20 days and nights passed like this.
Yeah, they sure did. Man, it felt like it was moments to me.
Where they don't stop talking and they never eat, sleep, or sit down.
They just talk?
They're all skeletons.
Pretty bad.
They should all be dead at this point. Also, how do they poop?
Oh, let's not dwell on that.
Look, I'm just saying.
I think they have already committed a grievous sin there.
The body has a lot of needs and none of them are being met. Finally, Susio is worn out by this. And she says, fine, you can just take 7 years punishment for breaking your promise to my goddaughter or you marry her. That's ultimatum time. Let's go. And the king says, yes, 7 years. That is better than a lifetime of ooze. Anything to get away from this detestable creature. Truitan says, I'm no more detestable than you, silly king, with your equipage fit only for the bogs, coming here to insult and break faith with me. If you had a particle of honor, would you behave so? These reproaches touch me deeply, said the king in a mocking tone. How foolish not to take so fair a lady for my wife. Everyone's an asshole. Everyone is just the fucking worst.
I just have to imagine, like, meanwhile, a bluebird is just having a good life. All these people are having asshole problems.
Like, this is Trout Princess's most relatable and empathetic moment. Like, hey, you made promises to me. You're kind of a dickweed.
You guys remember the movie We're Back?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The dinosaur one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember how that movie starts?
With cereal?
No. Do you remember the framing device of the movie?
Oh, no.
Oh, the dinosaurs are telling their story?
Mm-hmm. To whom?
Other dinosaurs.
No, that movie starts with, I think it's a robin or some. I think it's a bluebird. It might be a bluebird.
Okay.
He has, like, a bunch of brothers and sisters, and he's the runt of the family. He's always picked on, and he falls out of his tree and lands on a dinosaur who's golfing.
Oh, yes, okay.
And that's
right.
Kind of the vibe that I'm feeling right now, is like, we're getting the dinosaur golfing side of the story before we see what the bluebird is up to.
Well, we're about to see what the bluebird is up to, because after the king mocks our oozing trout princess for not being pretty, like a dick, Susio the fairy says very angrily, all right, well, now she's never going to marry you, because you're just an asshole. Fly out the window if you want. 7 years, you're going to be a bluebird. 7 years bluebird. Go.
.com.
So he changes into a bird and he flies far away. Melancholily. I don't know.
That's melancholily.
Yep. Not getting a spelling error, so I guess it's a word.
So it is a word.
Melancholily hopping from branch to branch, choosing to land only on trees consecrated to love and sorrow. I don't know which trees those are. Or what in your life lets you have that knowledge pre-bluebird curse that you can make that choice, but whatever, king. I see you have spent your time well in study. Singing sad songs and thinking, man, it sucks to be a bluebird. She might get married within the 7 years. I wish I could just die. Back with Truitan the Trout Princess, the fairy sends her back to the queen.
Hear me out, though. I think she made a grave error. What if he was a bluebird, but he was still fastened to the floor?
That would have been a much more fun story, probably.
Like, she just got sick of talking to him, so she made him a little bluebird, but he's still stuck there, and he can't move or poop or eat.
I guess maybe, like, the floor fastening spell was, like, specifically designed for a human-shaped entity of the approximate weight and height of the king, and so once that part of the spell was broken, the whole thing sort of fell apart. Spells maybe are intricately woven.
Yeah, she can't overlap spells, maybe.
Yeah. It's a very dangerous business. So the fairy sends Trout Princess back to her mom, who is furious about how all this panned out, and decides it's time to punish Florine. Okay. The one who's been in the tower this whole time. It's time to punish her.
Yeah, let's make her a bluebird.
My daughter didn't get what she wanted from this jerk-ass king. So they march, who has yet to show a single positive character trait, unless you count the ability to weave compliments for 3 solid hours to be a positive character trait. But Mr. Collins was able to do that in Pride and Prejudice. He is generally considered a revolting person. So I don't think that that is a point in King Charming's favor.
No.
Anyway, they march up to the tower. Trout Princess in her grandest clothes with a diamond crown and 3 daughters of rich barons following around to hold her train. I don't know if there's just like an internship for rich baron daughters somewhere, like just show up to give people clout, or if they do like a tradesies thing, and there's if it's like a timeshare on daughters that you can kind of like rent titled ladies to come. And then, like, later on, they can rent you to give them clout. I don't know how this works. It's very strange.
No wonder it's been abolished.
Yeah. And she's wearing Charming's ring on her thumb. So her mom, the queen, says, "Hey, look, we came with my daughter's wedding gifts. These 3 women and some clothes. She married Charming, and he loves her a lot, and he put all this fancy shit, and so they put all the fancy shit in front of Florine, so that
you can go ahead and die now, I guess."
So Princess Florine cries and begs them to take these things away. She'll only wear black if she can't just die now. Then she faints. Like a fainting goat, usual defense mechanism of a princess.
It's a good way to get out of a conversation.
Yeah, if I could faint on command, there would be a lot of conversations I would leave. The queen is delighted to see her fainting, and she doesn't let anyone come to her aid. And she goes to tell the king that his daughter was so excited by love that she was absolutely absurd and ridiculous, and by no account should they let her out of the tower because she can't be trusted. And the king's just like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. Daughter, what daughter? Like, I haven't seen her in a few days. I forgot she existed. I don't give a shit. Do what you want. So in her tower, she recovers from her faint. She cries all night at the window, and this becomes her nightly entertainment, because there wasn't any Netflix or anything, so... Yeah, you do what you can. King Charming the Bluebird was meanwhile flying around the palace, trying to find her while hiding from the Trout Princess. And he only sang at night, so that she wouldn't find out. She, I assume being Trout Princess, wouldn't find out that he was there and somehow recognize him from all the other bluebirds in the world.
No, she has an early bedtime. She's not going to hear that.
Yeah. She's got to get her oozy sleep.
Her ooze sleep? To just gestate in her own slimes?
when she rises from bed in the morning, it's like a snake shedding its skin.
Mmm.
It's just a
yucky
goop golem left behind.
Man, she must need like a hell of a diet and like hydration intake to keep up this amount of ooze.
Just a oozy homunculus.
So in front of Florine's window was a cypress, and the bird came there, and he hears her crying about why can't she just die, and she wants Charming, and, you know, your usual beautiful princess stuff. Very attractive. So the next night, he comes back, and he sees her by the light of the moon, and he's finally persuaded that, yes, this is Florine. It's not another trick. This is the one.
Not this time, demons.
So he says, "Adorable Florine, the wonder of our days, why do you long that your life should be so soon ended?" And Florine presumably chokes off her tears and is like, "Wait, who's there?
Who's talking?"
He says, "An unhappy king who loves you." And she suspects a trick from the queen, or maybe demons. But he says, "No, I cannot betray you." And he flies to her window. First, she was afraid of a talking bird. So this is a whatever point in the folklore timeline post birds regularly talking to people. and far enough away from that time that it's not, that it is something that garners fear. But he is a very pretty bird. Maybe it predates it. Yeah.
Because there is potent magic about still.
There is indeed potent magic. Although not potent enough to de-ooze a princess, so it is losing some of its edge.
Is it that magic hasn't reached that level, or is the ooze just too powerful?
Well, what we had discussed...
Let's not underestimate the ooziness.
Yeah, the ooze could be very powerful. And we don't know that, like, bird speech... Birds not speaking to humans anymore is directly correlated to the magic decline in the world. Mm-hmm. Maybe that became, like, a strategy that they used when they realized that people are very dumb and will do a lot of things for dumb reasons, including want magic or seek magic or encourage magic. And so the birds maybe decided at some point that it was in their best interest to not speak anymore.
To not appear magical.
Well, to just not, like, reveal their plans. Mm. So he is a very pretty bird. We all know in Dalnoa land that means that he is a good person. Everyone can rely on that.
Yeah.
So she listens to him, and after way too many words, he tells her who she is and clears up the whole wedding lie.
I feel like that's a good place to start.
Yeah. Probably. So they talk all night and part of the morning and try to... they part in the morning to prevent discovery, so he leaves in the morning. She's super happy about this, but she's also afraid he's going to get eaten by an eagle, so she still cries all day.
Just about a new thing now.
Yeah.
I mean, now I'm sad for a different reason.
And it's a daytime crying, which is, you know, a whole different experience from nighttime crying.
Mm-hmm.
The bird, meanwhile, flies back to his kingdom, and he enters his own room by a broken pane of glass. So I'm curious about the state of his kingdom. And
it's just in complete disarray.
It's probably pretty rough in there.
Like, did he leave and everyone rioted? Did they just stop taking care of the place?
Run down. So wait, he's been gone for 20 plus days.
Yeah. So I guess I just, like, raided his room, I guess. But not very well, because he does...
His bedroom?
Yeah. He does choose perfect diamond earrings to take back to Florine, so whoever broke his window didn't, like, do a thorough sweep of the place for valuables.
Didn't check in the mattress.
Yeah.
In the good hiding places. In the heat vent under your nightstand.
The next day he brings her bracelets, and then a watch, and then a bunch of other stuff over time, and she hides them all in her mattress during the day.
Yeah, what did I just say?
Yeah, exactly. 2 years go by. The queen has been trying in vain to get Trout Princess married, but everyone just wants Florine, the princess they don't see anymore, because she's in a tower shoving her mattress full of jewels.
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care anymore about anyone in the story.
The princess they know is hot.
If you tell me 2 years have passed, I am suddenly more interested in the power vacuum of this bird's kingdom. Tell me about the political intrigue that's going on there.
Yeah, that is a better...
This much
is not
working.
A much better story. That would be a fun, like, novel or something to write. Like, rather than adapting one of these fairy tales and following their plot line, just find the places where they have fucked everything up for a different kingdom, and then you just get hints of what's going on.
Anyway, the Bluebird's kingdom is now a people's republic. 2 years later.
So they get frustrated that in spite of her prison, the bold hussy is still in their way.
Bold hussy.
They figure she must be keeping up some secret correspondence with foreign countries.
Yeah.
Technically true.
Sure. They decide that she's a state criminal and must be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
So let's seek her conviction. The story turns surprisingly political for a fairy tale.
But not in an interesting way.
Nope. So they talk about this for so long that it's midnight before they decide to go question her. So because it's nighttime, she has, like, raided her mattress. She's decked out in all of her jewels. She's got her room decorated with flowers. Don't know what she does with those in the daytime. She spends, like, 2 hours after dark and then 2 hours before dawn putting this together and dismantling it, I guess. And the queen heard a two-part song being sung, so the two of them are just, like, starting their own band or whatever, their own glee club.
They're doing Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
So shit. The queen throws the door open, and Florine panics and closes the window so the bluebird could fly off. Maybe that was supposed to be opens the window. I don't know. But he couldn't leave her. "Your plots against the state are known," screams the queen. "Don't imagine your rank will save you."
Mm-hmm.
This is how I want to enter rooms.
This is what you want to say to Freybug.
Just slam a door open. "Your plots against the state are known."
When she's chewing things she shouldn't.
She's laying on the floor, chewing up, like, ripping stuffing out of one of her toys.
The next time Cricket leaves a gift somewhere, you just walk into the room with that. "Your crimes are known, Cricket."
"Don't imagine your rank will save you."
What rank does she carry?
Cricket? Right now it's creepy goth teenage daughter.
What?
She's my creepy goth teenage daughter.
That's her rank?
Yeah, yeah, she likes to hang out at the end of a hallway and just peek one eye from around the corner like she's fucking Wednesday Addams or something.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't want to, like, be involved, but she does want to know what's happening.
She specifically wants to keep one eye on everything.
Gotcha.
"With whom have I plotted? I've been in jail for 2 years, seeing no one. And where did these jewels come from? Are there mines in this tower? Are you a minecrafter, daughter in law of mine?"
A minecrafter?
So how'd she get all the jewels?
She punched the wall until diamonds came out.
"I found them here. That's all I know."
"We're not stupid. These are bribes to sell your father's kingdom."
"Yeah, that makes any sense. I could definitely accomplish that in this tower." "Oh, okay, but then why is your hair so pretty and your room so scented?"
Riddle me this.
"It should smell like prison farts. What are you doing?"
"If you're not selling the kingdom, why do you have incense?"
"The known air freshener of traitors."
"This candle stinks of treason."
"Pottery barn candle, you are selling the kingdom." So she replies, "Well, there's fucking nothing else to do in this tower, so yeah, I do my hair. I make my hair pretty. You didn't give me books. You didn't give me TiVo, so I do my hair."
"So I punch the wall for diamonds and I get my hair good."
"This is all I have."
The queen starts to search the room, intending to plant documents to prove her guilt. And she shakes a shitload of extra jewels from the mattress.
She's got a little baggie of cocaine in her back pocket.
She stuffs the incriminating papers in a chimney. But the bird was perched on top of the chimney, and he sees better than the lynx. Just a weird side effect of magic.
He's a blue bird with lynx eyes.
Magic goes a little bit haywire. It just kind of, it can't fully accomplish a single task. It just kind of, like, slams together a bunch of them. So he yells to Florine that the queen is seeking to betray her. The queen is frightened by this voice coming from the chimney, because maybe, I don't know, it's Santa Claus, and he does see you when you're sleeping and doesn't want to get on the naughty list. So Florine says, "See, the spirits of the air are my friends. Take that, queen." "I believe you have demons on your side," says the queen angrily, "and I'm telling your father about this."
This kingdom is overrun with demons doing tricks.
I know. I do appreciate this very, like, teenage daughter mother conversation that's about demons and treason, but is otherwise carrying the same tones and cadence of a mother screaming at her teenage daughter.
There comes a time in every kid's life where you need to have that talk.
The treason talk?
The demon's
treason talk.
Yeah.
They're both important. So she says, "Oh no, not my father's wrath. Yours is worse, ma'am. So the queen, I guess, runs out of retorts and just leaves. and then asks for advice for defeating the princess. I guess just kind of around. Just asks a bunch of people, how do I defeat the princess I've locked in a tower? Whoever she asks says that if she's under the protection of a fairy or an enchanter, it's probably going to piss them off to keep messing with her. So maybe just try to figure out what it is she's hiding. So the queen falls back on old habits and sends her a pretend innocent waiting woman. You know, like she did with the King Charming. But the princess isn't a total idiot and knows that this waiting woman is a spy. So she doesn't dare sit at her window for an entire month until the spy got so tired she finally falls asleep. So I don't know if this spy has stayed awake for a solid month, which is not, like, incriminating or creepy at all. But once the spy is asleep, Florine opens the window and calls to the bird, and they high school romance all over each other.
Cool.
So the spy also sleeps the next day, and then again, and then for, then the fourth day comes.
So nothing has changed.
No.
We just have this new fun detail that you have to repeat.
That someone is sleeping in the course of a day? Yes. Mm-hmm. on the fourth day, she does wake up secretly, and she sees what happens.
The spy wakes up secretly?
Yeah.
Does the spy do everything secretly? Is that just how you describe spies' activities?
The spy ate Cheerios spy secretly.
Yawned secretly.
I'll check how far we are from the end. Too far.
Oh, God. Too far.
So the two lovers feel like there's some bad shit coming to them. So when the bird leaves that morning, Florine sobs on her bed, and the spy runs to tell on her. So they feel like bad shit's coming, but they do not intend to do anything to stop it or change it.
They're just gonna feel bad about it.
I think that this can't keep up, and something bad's gonna happen to us. This is all I know to do to deal with it. So they know who the bird is, because Trout Princess was there when he birded. Yeah. They say, it's time for revenge. So they send the spy back to pretend to sleep the next night, and the princess calls for the bird that night. But he doesn't come because, surprise, the queen had tied spears, knives, razors, daggers, etc. to the cypress, so he had cut himself all over and left a trail of blood back to his secret tree. He doesn't bother to tend to his wounds because he believes that Florine had done this to him.
Not the demons. What?
Not the demons. Not the queen, who he has witnessed stuffing traitor papers up a chimney.
Mm-hmm.
Not the trout princess.
Suddenly, his lover has turned on him.
Yes, his first thought is that this woman, who he has been talking to and showering with jewels, has decided it's time to spear a tree. Also, he has to know at this point she can't leave the tower. Right? Like, she's in prison. This is an unhealthy relationship. So he whines about for a long time about how if Florine wanted to kill him, she could have done it herself. Death would have been a precious gift from her hand.
I know that we're like 8 hours away from finishing this story, but I just had a thought.
Yeah.
You remember his flying chaise lounge with the frogs and the wings? Remember where he got those?
No.
Uh-huh.
Gordy, you don't remember where he got those from?
I forgot what you were talking about.
He got them from a wizard.
Yes. Yes.
He is currently a bluebird.
Significant, maybe, depending on what you're talking about.
I feel like he could solve this by asking his wizard friend for help.
Well, alright, so he's whining that death would have been a precious gift from Florine's hand, but no, she just betrayed him to Truiton, so he intends to die. His friendly enchanter. So Tyler, how does it feel to think like Dalnois at the same pace as Dalnois through a story? How you feeling?
I imagine what it feels like to write a story like this. Where you're like, he's a bluebird, he's all cut up, kind of paint myself into a corner. Wait a minute.
Wizards.
Earlier, I established a wizard. Enter the wizard.
So his friend the enchanter, who had seen the flying frog's gift come back without a king, had been going around the world about 8 times in search of him, and he was in the middle of round 9 of King Hunt. According to rules which had to be observed, who put these rules in place? I don't know.
Observed by whom? What are you talking about?
Wizards have rules. Don't all learn the concept of like magic systems needing rules, but did not learn like how to execute said concept.
Is Cornelius fucking Fudge gonna come arrest him if he looks for a king wrong?
Well, the rules that have to be observed implore him to blow a long blast on his horn and call, King Charming, where are you?
And he did this across the planet 8 times.
8.5.
8.5 times.
Who made these rules? Why did they make these rules?
He did, so it would be more fun and challenging.
I guess, like, you had to turn it into a game?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you don't need this to be a rule. It could just be how he's hunting.
He is approached searching for his missing friend, the king, the same way that I approach Assassin's Creed.
Just shouting and occasionally installing a lion as a captain?
Right, which is to say I got on a boat with a lion and did no assassination whatsoever.
Just kicking it
with Captain Lion.
So the king recognized his voice and calls him over to the tree. The enchanter can't find him until the king remembers to clarify that he is in fact a bluebird and not a king right now.
Also the rules.
This would have astonished anyone else, but there was not a trick of necromancy unknown to this enchanter.
He's seen demon work before.
A word stopped the blood. Herbs and magic words cured the rest of the wounds. The king tells him his story, including the bit that Florine had revealed the sacred mystery of his visits. The sacred mystery of his visits.
Mm-hmm. Does he mention that he's still got 5 years left of this curse?
I don't know. And she allowed the murder attempt, and then railed against her faithlessness. Like all good dude bros, the magician broke out against her, and all women. All women are bad. All women are faithless liars. And he advised women. And he advised the king to forget about her. But the bluebird still loved her. For reasons that make about as much sense as believing she betrayed him. So he asks the enchanter to take him home and put him in a cage to keep him safe from the cat and also from murderous weapons. And the enchanter says, you really want to spend 5 years in a bird cage? You're a king. Also, there are enemies that say you're dead and they want to take your kingdom, so we do have a little bit of problem.
There's a lot going on back home.
The king says, well, I could go back and carry on the government. The enchanter says, well, you are also a bird and no one is going to listen to you. And the king says, suddenly a philosopher, how weak men are. A brilliant exterior means nothing in the way of merit or virtue. This is a bold statement for you to make. And yet it is nigh impossible to keep out of the circle of influence. And the magician says, I don't give up. We'll figure something out. It'll be fine. So, we will leave it here. Will the king be able to govern his kingdom as a bird?
Will the wizard just make him a man again?
Is wizard magic incompatible with fairy magic? Does anyone give a shit about Florine?
No.
Still no.
Still no.
So, next time on What the Folklore.
Maybe a volcano.
Is that your prediction?
No, I still gotta stick to mine because we haven't seen it come to fruition yet, which is an inanimate thing is alive. Gordy, do you want to amend yours?
Nope.
Sticking to it.
Any additions?
Nope.
All right.
Big old Kano.
All right.
It's gonna be a thrilling conclusion.
Next time on What the Folklore, an inanimate object has sentience and there's a volcano. For sure this time. We have seen a bluebird, so the story has stopped lying to us in the title. Thank you for listening to this episode. We will conclude, find the thrilling conclusion to the bluebird next week. Thank you to all of our patrons for supporting the show and for keeping us sane and happy. And thank you to our top tier patrons. Midori, Lily, Janice, Kelly, Elsie, Katarina, Tasmanian Tiger, Funky Little Strawberry, Lemur, Spag Ghost Coast to Coast, Caitlin, Danielle, Wyatt, Sophie Faye, Olwyn, Queen of Terrible Taste, Allie, Pants for Saddened Spiders, Kim, Versus Me 101, The Day Dude, Pyrus, Kelty, Nathan the Scott, Alex, Nelical Cats, Last Christmas I Dave You My Heart, Maya, Grace, Bus Devotee, Hi Listus of Wimbus, Yahweh Yahweh, Little Smorgasbord, Haley, Dominic, Justin, Jeremiah, Ladybug the Extorter, Izzy, Heather Hi Meow Lady of the Cult of Cricket, and Nuisance of the Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Where what the? Thank you also, Doug. Sorry. Woof. I don't want to curse our podcast by not thanking Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Where what the folklore. And that's how it works.
Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, da-ha-di-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.